want to speak the name of Jesus because it tells us in the Word that what we're singing this morning is true. And if it's true, then it's life-changing. If it's true, then it's going to impact you in a way that you never thought possible. If it's true, then our relationship with God is sorted. And we can stand before Him right now and worship Him with a clean heart and clean hands and a pure heart. We could come into His presence because of what Jesus has done. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey this morning, whether you've started it or you've been on it for a long way, but I just want to speak the name of Jesus. I want to speak the name of Jesus because He has overcome the power of sin and death. He is the one that breaks into our hearts and brings a newness and a freshness. He's the one that heals us spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And we can come to Him this morning and just speak the name of Jesus. That means that we're going to put our faith in Him. And what worship does, it leads us to a point where we can begin to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. So let's just pray together. Father God, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. We thank You that You sent Him to earth to die for us, to pay the price of our sin, that You may enter into our hearts and begin to transform us. And Lord, as we gather together, as we are together right now, putting our faith in You, I just speak Your name into everybody's life. Lord, whatever they're facing, whatever they're trying to deal with, the issues that they have, I speak Jesus. Speak Jesus that He will help us overcome. Amen. Well, we're going to break bread in a moment, and it's a reminder really of why we are breaking bread. That's what I want to talk about this morning. There are many things in life that we do, and we just do them because we do them. And sometimes we don't even think about why we do them. And we never want to get to that place when we share communion, where we break bread together. We want this to be something that is relevant to our journey of faith, something that we understand, and something that is meaningful as we do it together. Jesus said, didn't He, "Do this until I come again. Do it in remembrance of Me." And that word remembrance is something that we've got to work at very often. I don't know about you, but my remembrance seems to be getting harder as I get older. I can't remember things. I was away last week with Bob. Many of you will know Bob. Bob Grahams, Lauren, Ian Watson. And they couldn't remember half of what was going on. They couldn't remember doing things together years ago. And it was quite interesting listening to them. I was the young one, obviously. And I was able to remember a little bit more than they did. But it's funny how our mind works, and we become so used to things, and we don't ever want to forget what Christ has done for us. So I want to read from James chapter 2 this morning. I'm going to try and read it off the screen over there. There we go. "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' also said, 'You shall not murder.' If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." And that's the bit I want to talk about this morning. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I don't know about you. I don't know whether are you a law keeper or a law breaker. Do you like keeping laws? Do you think it brings order to the world? Do you think it brings order to your life? I know when I was working, I always used to be a law breaker because I used to find quicker ways of doing it than what I should. I was a bit of a rebel, really, because we had all kinds of manuals on how to do things, and I found shortcuts. I was a lawbreaker. I thought, I'm going to do it my way because it's quicker. It wasn't always better, but it felt like it was the quickest way of doing it. And sometimes we can have a heart that is, I'm going to keep the law because it brings order, or I'm just going to do it my way. It's my way or no way. And that's one of the most popular songs, isn't it, from Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And our relationship with God is a little bit different than that. But most of us will have your own rules and regulations in the house. If you come to our house, Linda makes you take your shoes off as you come in. It's one of our laws. And she gets quite brutal about it as well. She sends you back to the front door to take them off. And so we live in our own little law, sort of law cocoons, don't we? We have laws for our own house. And it helps us get along. We know what the rules are. We can be with one another and we know we're going in the right direction and the same direction. And if somebody breaks the rules, you're judged straight away. You haven't taken your shoes off. You'll have to go to bed early now. That's not me, that's the kids. You have to go to bed early, or you can't have this, or this is going to happen. But we will all have that. And when somebody breaks the rules, we've got to make a judgment almost straight away. What does that mean when we break the law? Something's going to happen, and judgment comes. And as we look in the Bible, we know that God gave laws to Moses, a set of rules and regulations that would allow the Israelites to live in harmony with one another. And if the laws were broken, there was a judgment and a consequence. And sometimes that was quite harsh. So let's read together Exodus 21. Anyone who strikes a person with a fatal blow is to be put to death. It's fairly clear, that one, isn't it? However, if it is not done intentionally, but God lets it happen, they are to flee to a place I will designate. But if anyone schemes and kills somebody deliberately, that person is to be taken from my altar and put to death. Anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. Oh, I like that one. Yes, so if you attack your father or your mother, you would be put to death. Quite harsh. So there are rules that God gave to the children of Israel that helped them manage the however millions there were. It helped bring order and a sense of we know what's right and we know what's wrong, but if we break the law, we know what's going to happen. We will be judged and the sentence will be passed. And a lot of rules that God gave to the children of Israel were actually about their relationship with him. He loved the children of Israel and he wanted to keep this relationship with them. He wanted to have an open relationship where he could bless them. But as a nation, they had to keep the rules and regulations that he laid down. And when the rules were broken, there were sacrifices that covered sin as the law was broken. You can read all about that. I don't want to get into the detail of that. But there were various sacrifices for things that you had got wrong in life. And every year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and ask forgiveness for the whole nation and symbolically place their sins upon a goat and send it out from the camp. It's the scapegoat, isn't it? We all know that. That's where we use the term scapegoat from, because he placed the sins of the nation on this goat and sent it out where it would die. Sent it out into the desert, sent it away from the camp. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies in fear and trembling. The sins of the nation and the relationship with God was dependent upon this moment where he went in and asked forgiveness for the nation. It says that in the Bible that they used to tie a bit of string or a rope round his leg in case he did drop dead, in case God judged him, so that they could pull him out without going into the Holy of Holies, because they didn't want to get zapped either, so they stayed out of the way. They had this rope and they would pull him out. But I've done a little bit of research and there is no evidence that any of the high priests were ever killed, were ever judged in such a way. God always received the sacrifice, and you've got to remember that God always received their sacrifice. Tells us in Romans chapter 3, and this is a scripture we use very often, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all of us in a place where we face God's judgment. We've all done it. We've all sinned. We've all done something. And that scripture in James says that if you break one law, you've broke the lot. It's not, oh, that's only a minor law that I've broken, that one doesn't count. No, if you break any of the law, you're guilty of all of them. And as a world, we stand in this place that we have all sinned, that we all fall short of the standards of what God has set to keep this relationship with him. call that the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. When Jesus came, he brought a new covenant. And that's what we're celebrating today, the new covenant that God has got with us through Jesus Christ. One that introduced love, grace, and mercy. It tells us in the Bible that the law came by Moses, but love and grace came by Jesus. The death of Jesus, a perfect sacrifice, paid for the sin of the world, paid for our sin individually, was enough to pay the price for us. His resurrection destroyed the power of sin in the lives of those who put their faith in him. And we stand, or we are together today, as believers who've put our faith in him, in the sacrifice that he gave, that we can come together and break bread together, knowing that our relationship with him is complete, that he has paid the price, that we are in a place where we can openly and willingly and in a position of worship come to him this morning as we break bread together. Ephesians chapter 2 says this: because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy — that word mercy is important — we've received his mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It says in there that he is rich in mercy. Have you ever showed mercy to somebody? When they've come to you and they've done something that could be judged and could get them into trouble, and you show mercy. God is rich in mercy. When we come to him, we've got to remember that he is rich in mercy. And sometimes we judge ourselves harsher than what God judges us, because he is rich in mercy. He wants to give us all that he has for us. And if you're judging yourself this morning, remember that God is rich in his mercy towards us. Because he loves us, he steps in, he offers forgiveness in exchange for punishment. He gives us salvation. He gives us a new life, a new freedom, and sits us in heavenly places. What a great position we are in this morning. In James 3, it reminds us that we sit in God's mercy, and God's mercy triumphs over judgment. In reality, God's judgment would say that we are not worthy to share this together, that we are not worthy to be in his presence, but his mercy overcomes the judgment that we are due. And we can come this morning and just celebrate together the mercy of God through the death of Jesus Christ. I'm very much somebody who believes in things working. You know, things that don't work really irritate me. You can buy things, can't you? You buy from the pound shop and they don't work, and you go, oh, I've been ripped off. We can buy expensive things and they don't work, and we get frustrated with them. But our faith is something that has got to work for us. You know, Jesus has promised us all these things, but it's got to work in our lives. We've got to remember his mercy. We've got to remember his grace. We've got to remember his love, so that he can work in us. Because when we judge ourselves, very often we deal with ourselves like they used to deal with that goat and send it outside and say, I am not worthy to receive all that God has got for me. But I want to tell you this morning that God's mercy is greater than the judgment that you have on yourselves. God's mercy is greater than judgment for things that we've done wrong in our lives. God's mercy is everlasting. It overcomes. It is greater than judgment. So we're going to break bread together right now. And we thank God for his son, Jesus Christ. Through his body, he paid the price of our sin. He gave us mercy. He gave us the opportunity to come into this relationship with him. So we're going to celebrate that together. Have we got a song?